Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going to take an Amen-style snare snap and turn it into something way more than just a drum hit. We're going to make it act like a low-end event. So when the snare lands, the bass feels it, reacts to it, and snaps back with more force. That's the vibe we want in modern drum and bass. Not just louder drums, not just more sub. We want interaction. We want the snare to punch a hole in the spectrum for a moment, then let the low end rebound in a way that feels physical on a big system. That's what makes a drop feel expensive. Start by finding a clean amen break, or a snare hit pulled from one. You want something with a little grit and room tone, not a super polished one shot. Drag it into an audio track, and isolate the snare you want to build from. If you like working more surgically, you can bring that snare slice into simpler and switch it to one-shot mode. That gives you tighter control over the hit and makes it easier to resample later. Now think in layers, not just one snare. That's the first big mindset shift here. We want a snap layer, a body layer, and optionally a low-mid reinforcement layer. Duplicate the snare so you can treat each part differently. One layer is for the transient, one is for the chest and weight, and one is just there to help the whole thing feel bigger. For the snap layer, open simpler and shape it short. Keep the attack right at the front, with almost no fade in. Use a fast decay, no sustain, and a very short release. If the snap feels soft, use simpler's filter or EQA to focus the upper mids where the crack lies. High pass it fairly aggressively so it stays out of the way of the sub. Around 180 to 300 Hz is a good place to start for the high pass on that transient layer. You're trying to keep it sharp and focused, not full range. And here's a useful teacher tip. Don't overpolish the attack. Amen-style snares often work because they keep a little dirt in the transient. If you make the snap too clean, it can lose that bite that makes jungle-derived drums feel alive. Next, shape the body layer. This is where the snare starts to feel like it has mass without actually stomping on the sub. Put EQ8 first and carve the sample with intention. If your bass already owns the low end, high pass the body around 90 to 140 Hz. If you want a bit more chest, let some of that 140 to 220 region stay in. If the snare sounds boxy or cloudy, cut a bit around 300 to 500 Hz. After EQ, add saturator. This is a huge part of the trick. Saturation adds harmonics, and harmonics help the snare feel thicker on smaller speakers and denser in the mix without relying on raw low-frequency energy. Start with around 2 to 6 dB of drive, turn on soft clip if needed, and keep the output level under control so you're shaping tone, not just making it louder. If you want the snare to feel a little dirtier and more old school, push the drive a bit harder. If you're aiming for a more modern roller or neuro-adjacent feel, keep it tighter and more controlled. The point is not to overload it. The point is to create perceived weight. Now let's add a little transient control using only stock devices. Ableton doesn't need a third-party transient shaper to get this done. Drop drum bus on the snare group or on the body layer. Bring the transient up a little, maybe somewhere in the plus 10 to plus 25 range. Keep boom very low unless you intentionally want that older, heavier kick drum style impact. A little drive can help too, but keep it modest. If the hit starts getting too sharp or too fizzy, dial it back and let EQ or saturation do the work instead. This is the zone where the snare starts to push air instead of just occupying sample space. Now for the key idea in this lesson. The bass has to react to the snare. That's where the low-end impact really comes from. Put your bass line on its own group, then insert compressor after the bass synth or after the bass resample. Sidechain that compressor from the snare track, so the bass dips exactly when the snare hits. Use a fast attack, somewhere around 0.1 to 3 milliseconds. Set the release depending on the feel you want. For tighter rolls, keep it around 50 to 120 milliseconds. For a more open, breathing drop, go a little longer, maybe 120 to 220 milliseconds. Aim for around 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction as a starting point. The important thing here is to create a momentary hole in the spectrum. The snare hits, the bass steps back, and then the bass comes back with more force. That contrast is what makes both elements feel larger. If you overdo the sidechain, the bass will start to pump in a way that sounds like a wobble. That can be cool in some styles, but if you want punch and pressure, keep it controlled. If your bass is busy or very layered, it can help to split it. Let the sub stay mostly stable and mono, and let the mid bass take most of the ducking. You can even use multi-band dynamics if needed, but the idea stays the same. The snare should trigger the movement, and the bass should answer. And that leads into another great trick. Use the bass as a response system. Instead of only dipping volume, try a tiny filter move on the bass after the snare. Auto filter works well for this. Set it to low pass or band pass, depending on your bass tone, and automate the cutoff to dip slightly on the snare, then reopen quickly. Keep it subtle. You're not doing a huge filter sweep. You're creating a little recoil, like the bass physically flinched and recovered. That movement is especially effective in darker rollers and jungle-influenced sections. It gives the groove that breathing, mechanical feel without cluttering the arrangement. Once the snare and bass are interacting properly, render or resample the result. This is one of the smartest ways to work, because once you print it, you can edit the exact transient shape instead of guessing with live processing. Trim the start so the hit lands exactly where you want it. Clean up the end if the tail is awkward. If timing has drifted, use warp carefully, but don't overwarp a punchy drum hit unless you absolutely need to. After that, make varinations. This is where the track starts to feel arranged instead of looped. Create one version that's tight and dry for busy sections, one that's thicker and more saturated for open drops, and one that's shorter and harsher for switch-ups. That way, the snare can tell the listener when the energy changes. Now group your drum elements together. Put the break, the snare layers, any ghost notes, and supporting percussion into a drums group. On that bus, use subtle glue and tone shaping. A little glue compressor can help, but keep the gain reduction light, maybe 1 to 2 dB max. Add EQ8 if you need to tame mud around 250 to 400 Hz. A touch of saturator or drum bus can add density, but don't overcook it. The goal is cohesion, not flattening the groove. And here's a really useful mental model. The snare is not just a tone. It has three time zones. There's the first click, the mid punch, and the dying tail. If the low end feels weak, usually one of those zones is too long or too flat. So when you're making adjustments, ask yourself which part of the snare is actually doing the work for arrangement. Automate small changes across the drop. You could raise drum bus transient a little in the last four bars of a phrase. You could bump saturator drive by 1 or 2 dB during a switch-up. You could deepen the compressor threshold so the bass pulls back a bit harder before a big snare hit. You could even throw a little short, filtered reverb on selected snares before a transition, then cut it dry again for contrast. Those tiny moves make the snare feel alive. And in drum and bass, that kind of movement is everything. A loop that changes just enough every 8 or 16 bars stays exciting, without losing the core groove. If you want to take it further, try a parallel pressure chain. Duplicate the snare group, compress and saturate that copy heavily, filter it a bit, and blend it in quietly under the main hit. That adds density without changing the front edge. Another good variation is to split the transient from the tail after resampling and process them separately. The tail can become more of a texture layer, while the transient stays focused and punchy. A final practical tip: check everything at different playback levels. If the snare only feels huge when the volume is up, it probably needs more harmonic density in the body layer. If it still feels strong at lower volume, you've probably got the balance right. And always check mono compatibility, especially in the low end. If the snare and bass relationship falls apart in mono, tighten up the layers and simplify the processing. So to recap, layer the Amen style snare, shape the transient with simpler or drum rack, add weight with saturation and careful EQ, use drum bus for a little punch, and then make the bass react with sidechain compression and subtle filter movement. Resample once it's working, create a few versions and automate small changes so the snare becomes part of the arrangement, not just part of the loop. If you do this right, the snare won't just cut through the track. It'll make the floor feel heavier every single time it lands.